I'm Barry Worthington.
I'm Paul Thorpe.
And I'm Pete Rees.
And this is the Progress with Unity podcast. After the Lord Mayor Show, Fleetwood Town 4, Wigan Athletic 2. Inevitable?
I did wonder. I think I might have suggested something on the midweek podcast that I was concerned that they might actually be meant. I think I actually said they might be mentally exhausted or something. I think that's probably the way it turned out. But I didn't expect a 4-2 drubbing. And let's face it, it could have actually been worse at one stage.
Yeah, I think it's quite a pragmatic approach to that, Pete, isn't it? I listened to Ben Nappers from Fleetwood saying that actually, if you look at Wigan, this was before the game. What did you want from this season? Stay up, finish mid-table, do Bolton twice, sold the two biggest earners, so financially we're doing all right. What more could you ask for? And you know what? He's absolutely spot on. You're going to get some dodgy results, but on the whole, it's been all right, hasn't it?
It has. And I must say, I went to the game yesterday, and even though we lost 4-2, and even though that second half was something else, I really enjoyed it. It was a great day out, and I just thought those 3 points go to some way to helping Fleetwood stop up. I know it's going to be an almighty ask for them, but I thought they battled really well. They didn't look a cracking team by any stretch of the imagination, but it looks like they're fighting for survival, really fighting for it. I hope that result yesterday goes somewhere to keeping them up, because it is a good place to go. It is friendly. The Ivory Chippy is great on the corner of the ground, and it was packed out again yesterday. So all these little things. I went on a double-decker bus, and it's just brilliant. It adds to the love of following your football club going to places like this. And that's not being condescending to Fleetwood, obviously not, because he just battered us 4-2. We'll start off with the team selection. Tittle, Clough back in, Kerr, Good, Chambers, Adiko, Matt Smith, Johnny Smith, Tello Asgard, Marshall Godot, and Stevie Humphries starting the game as well. A couple of changes there. I was a bit surprised that after Scott Smith's performance against Bolton that he was actually left out, because I thought he was very good. But hindsight is a wonderful thing.
I would have brought Sean Clare back in straight away, because I think we miss him when he's not playing. For me, he's been I think I've said this before, he's been a steady Eddie in the team, 7 out of 10 every match. When he's not playing, I think we come across as more unbalanced. He's just that bit more experienced than Scott Smith, isn't he? And I think he really, really knows what he's doing in that position. And he's very, very adaptable. It looks to me, you know, whenever he's had to play in a slightly different position, a slightly different role, he does that, takes it on with ease. As I say, when he's missing, we do miss him.
You described him as the Mario Melchior of the side, didn't you? And that's what Charlie was looking for the other week when he said...
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I went back and looked at it.
I mean, one thing we don't know is... where we've had this illness floating around the camp, and we don't know who's suffering and playing through it and who's not. Sean Clare's nailed the spot. He's done a very good job. But then Scott Smith's done a great job when he's come in. You know, prior to him being injured, I was touting him as potential player of the season for the consistency of what he's done. And I still think we will finish the season with a settled midfield of Scott Smith and Matt Smith. But then to do that, you're leaving Babar Adiko out, who's played pretty well as well. So it just shows you how tough a job it is for the manager to find.
I think we pay too much attention to these relatively few loud voices on social media complaining about Sean Maloney. I think he has the backing of the overwhelming majority of the crowd who come regularly. There have been very few managers we've had, I think, where his name gets sung so often. I think we do well to remember that. Concentrate on that. Those people are louder than the relative few on Twitter.
Well, they're staying in that away end, and there was the odd rumbling about Maloney, but nothing vicious. And I think it was born more out of frustration of how the game went, especially in the second half. And at the end, people stayed and clapped both players and Maloney, and there were no issues whatsoever. In fact, quite the opposite. Coming back, a lot of people talking about how much they'd enjoyed the game, even though it seems, you know, even though we got thumped 4-2, people had enjoyed it. I mean, it was 6 goals and possibly... you know, there could have been another couple. Tello Asgard at the crossbar, and they had a breakaway with Omar Cherry, who should have scored, really. Their number 20, why he's in my head at the moment, I just mentioned, came on as a substitute in the second half. Just tore us apart. We couldn't get the ball. He got the ball at his feet, head down, straight at us, and he caused pandemonium across our defensive midfield and our defence. And I'm thinking, why didn't he start the game? And then he were through 1-1 and we found out why he didn't start the game. Because he couldn't finish. He'd no end product. But he looked like a little bit of an exciting prospect. And I've got to mention Lowell as well, who scored both Fleetwood's goals. I thought he had a fantastic game on loan from Celtic. Under 21 Irish international alongside Baba Radiko. Maybe he's someone who's attracted a bit of attention from us for next season. Perhaps looked really good, strong on the ball. It was a very entertaining game, and that first half was an umdinger. They went 1-0, we hit back with 2 goals, then they equalised right on, you know, well, just before half time. It was fabulous, fabulous to watch. Freezing cold and absolutely soaked to the skin. You know, what more can you ask?
What did you have at the chippy, though, Barry? That's what I want to know.
Just a tray of chips. That's all I got. But there was all sorts on offer. I saw somebody get fish, chips, and gravy, and they asked for gravy over the fish, and I thought that was just so out of order.
Oh,
come on, you're representing the China Wigan here. Not gravy on your fish.
That's more criminal than some of them breakfasts that used to get criticised on.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I thought it was a strange game, and they made this point on the commentary as well, because 4 goals in the first half, the game still seemed flat, and that's the way I perceived it as well. 4 goals, but still it felt like not a lot happened. Maybe you had a different perspective watching from behind the goal, Barry. I don't know. I think it was hard work. It looked hard work for everybody on that pitch in the conditions yesterday.
I think when you're in the crowd and it's bouncing a bit, because it was bouncing behind the goals, it's a very compact area that as well. It's only a very narrow area. So it did feel exciting there. And, you know, we equalised within 2 minutes of them taking the lead, and it was a great goal from Stevie Humphries, wasn't it? I mean, he cut in from the left-hand side and he did his special bang into the fabulous strike. But their first goal was a good goal as well. So for me, the goals in the first half, the four of them, I thought they were all good. Stevie Humphries scored that goal. And then you think about Tello's. Tello actually started that move at the edge of our box. Then it's a glorious pass out with the outside of his foot to Sean Clare, fed in Gordo, popped the ball into the box and 6 yards out, there's Tello Asgard. Ghosted in like a modern-day Trevor Brookin. With a diving header, completely unmarked. You remember that FA Cup final when West Ham won 1-0 as a second division club? Brookin's goal in that, very reminiscent of that for me. But
I thought the two main positives from yesterday were that Stevie Humphries and Tello Asgard are showing that more and more, I think, that we can rely on them to chip in a lot with goals. I mean, this is by far and away Tello's best season now for goals and goal involvement. And Humphries has obviously been out of sorts for a while, but he's got two goals in 2 games. If you want to watch that goal of his again yesterday, the best bit about it was his, you know, it wasn't 100 miles an hour dribbling through or past 3 or 4 players. It was actually, he was actually very calm about it. And when he drifted inside, he waited for one of their players to just take a step towards him. And then he knew he'd take a step to the side and shoot. And that's exactly what he did. So it was a very, very clever goal. Obviously a great finish with it.
Brilliant finish. The first half, I was quite excited at half time, I must admit. I enjoyed it, and there was a lot of people buzzing about around us. And then we come out in the second half, and it seemed like they did a bit of a job. And I want to bring in something here. And Paul mentioned it, you know, looking at Smith in midfield, who misses out Baba Radiko, do we drop him down? But what if he doesn't? What if we go 3 in the middle? Because what I think possibly happened, and has happened previously this season, we've tended to get a little bit overrun through the middle of the park. Because we've only 2 central midfielders, and quite a lot of teams play with 3 because we play down the flanks so much. Do you think there's a case perhaps for having 3 in that middle?
You could give one license to move, can't you, and go forward a bit and look forward, or you can have one dropping into a back 2 to make 3 and cover in there if you just playing a back 4 and your 2 fullbacks are getting forward. It's all kinds of ways, shapes and formations. The key is everybody understands what their job is in any particular team and they do it.
Just thinking, like, you know, we do tend to look like we get overrun. If you cast your mind way back, Kelly, Langley and Barra had a midfield 3. There's been loads of instances through the different seasons up until modern day where we've played 3 central midfielders. If I had a clear head on me this morning, I'd be able to think of some straight away. But Marcy Williams and Evans is a really poor example, but there are better examples though, where we have played a three and it's been very good.
Not consistently, I don't think. I mean, under Paul Cook, it was almost every week it was a 4-2-3-1. I think playing a three, as you suggested, with those players that you've named, Adeko, Smith and Smith, I think the problem is they're all deep-lying midfielders, aren't they? They're doing slightly different jobs, but I can't see it how those three could play alongside each other. But I think with different players, you probably could. I think, and I've seen this mentioned on Twitter a few times about needing a real kind of midfield general or something like that. That is subtly needed, somebody perhaps with more experience. But if you get a player in like that, then you can shape the rest of the midfield around him, perhaps. I can't see a three working with the players that we've got unless you're asking Asgard to come a bit deeper. He's the one with the license to move forward. Can't see it at the minute.
You lose a bit from him, don't you? Up at the top end of the pitch if you do that. But we've got Liam Shaw. I mean, he's very similar. I know he's injured at the moment, but he's very similar to like Smith or Adeko, isn't he? Where, you know, they put foot in and that. Well, says Smith, I mean, Scotty Smith. Well, Matt Smith, I think you could play him. But he likes dropping to like a quarterback role, doesn't he? Just in front of the two defenders. But would he be as effective? More effective if you moved him like to the point of a triangle, you know, two behind him in front of the back four, and then just have him a little bit further up, and then have Asgard that freedom to roam all over the pitch, then wherever he wants to go.
You're right. I think he's the player you would have to kind of base the midfielder around in that case. See, I think Scott Smith. I love Scott Smith. I think his running style, the positions that he plays in, they remind me so much of James McArthur. But McArthur was also quite good at getting forward, making runs into the box and having the odd shot from outside the box. And I think he's got to perhaps add that to his game a bit more. Scott Smith's time will come. He's another one that has only been playing regularly since the start of the season. I think there's more to come from him. I think he'll be all right.
When we signed James McArthur, he was 23. Same age as Scott Smith now, because he just turned 23. Mm-hmm. So they're at the same age. And he was a bit raw when we first signed him. We got it again with a deflected goal, didn't we? I mean, I'm not sure whether Tickle would have got it if it had to sit. I think it was off Asgard's heel. It looped up in the air. But you never know. He might have got it because it wasn't a really well-struck shot off Kilkenny. It looped up into the air. That was from a corner, wasn't it? We had the ball in our defensive third and we did a little bit of tippy-tappy. They crowded Matt Smith out three men and got the ball off him. We ended up conceding a corner and then they scored off it. The fourth goal sort of killed us off, really. I think once that fourth goal went in, I didn't think we'd come back. I was hoping we'd get a goal to put a bit of pressure on and like Tello, as we mentioned, at the crossbar, which was a really good effort. And if you watch that back again, there's a little nick on that from the goalkeeper. So it was a save rather than a badly placed shot. I think it was going destined for the back of the net, that, and it just took it up onto the crossbar. And that would have made for a really exciting end. But my Cherry got the best excitement, breaking away and losing his bottle as he marauded down on the Wigan Athletic goal for Fleetwood. But anyway, 4-2, a really, really good result for Fleetwood Town. Hopefully, it'll give them something to build on. For us, results, as they say, they will go our way because we're mid-table, aren't we? They're not going to go anything but our way. So teams are going to win and teams are going to lose. And we are where we are. And I could see us finishing in this exact position come May.
We've already achieved what we needed to achieve. We'll pick some more points up. I know it's the wrong thing to say, but in essence, we're on the beach, aren't we? It's not quite there yet. They were going to every game wanting to win, but the actual impetus and the adrenaline won't flow like it did on Tuesday. Because Fleetwood scrapping for their lives, and quite frankly, we're not.
Man of the match, as voted for by our listeners on both Facebook and Twitter, Latics number 11, Stevie Humphries. Close run thing with Babar Adeko, who I thought had a decent enough game in the midfield as well. Congratulations, Stevie Humphries. The goal scorer wins it. The subs, McManaman, McGuinness, Scott Smith and Jones came on 63 minutes for Johnny Smith, Matt Smith, Kerr and Humphries. Is that the first time Wigan Athletic in a competitive game have made four substitutions in one go? I can't recall this happening before. And Hughes for good on 72 minutes. It looked like Good knew he had to go off. I don't know if it was fitness, fatigue, or if he tweaked something, but he kicked the ball into touch and just went off. So back to that question. Can you recall us making four substitutions in one go?
We've not had the opportunity before this season or the COVID season, have we? So yeah. I think we'd remember if we had.
There you go. I was there for a bit of history. I was there when Perkins scored. I was there when Fleetwood Town beat us for the first time in the league, which just so happens. I was there for the first time we made four substitutions. Fleetwood Town, hopefully we'll meet her again next season. Put that one to bed.
I saw on, I think it was Dan Stacey say recently, oh, to have the Matt Smith from earlier in the season. It made me think that I think we've got quite a few players you could say that about. I think Dan's probably right. You could say it about Stevie Humphreys, you could say it about Barbara Dico, and probably one or two of the others. And I think you looking through the whole team, you can understand better what Sean Maloney was saying after the match yesterday about, he was talking about fatigue, took that to mean mental fatigue, and I think quite a lot of the players seem to be suffering from that. I think when you're a young player, there's an awful lot to take in. There's an awful lot more to think about on the pitch. I think when you're an older, more experienced player, there's a lot of things that you probably do just do automatically. And you probably have to concentrate a lot more as a young player to get things right. And I think we're probably perhaps showing the signs of that. Sean Maloney said a couple of times that there are players in the team who played far more games than he intended they would do at the beginning of the season. But it's just circumstances. You know, we've lost a couple more experienced players as the season's gone on, like Charlie Wyke and Callum Lang. And we're relying on those younger players in a way that is probably not great for their development. So I can understand why Barbara Dico and Scott Smith and Matt Smith, etc., why they're perhaps not performing at the level they were at the beginning of the season. But I'm fine about that. And as long as it's not damaged their development, I think we'll see when they've had 40-something games under their belts, we'll see the best out of them next season, I think.
I think some of that, Pete, is to do with the fact that they're not fighting for anything anymore. When we were -8, everybody was hyped up. We wiped that out. Then we saw a bit of a dip because we got back level. And then we got stuck in. We've done Bolton twice, and we just get to the point you can't make up the adrenaline for like the dip between Tuesday and today. That adrenaline just is not going to flow the same for Fleetwood away as it is for Bolton at home. It's that. So they've done a good job. Let them have a little rest. You know, like you said, the performances are going to naturally ebb and flow anyway, and you're not going to get that level of consistency. Let them lose the odd game and start moaning next season.
Let them gel. We'll go anyway, Athletics. Anyway. Talking about the young players, we've got a young player who everybody's raving about at the club. We sent him out on loan earlier in the season. He went off to Morecambe on the 11th of January. And I've had a bit of a conversation with Joel Shooter from the Shrimps Supporters Trust about Joe Adams and how he is progressing. So let's have a little listen to what Joel had to say. Very interesting to follow Joel Adams' progress since he moved over to Morecambe on loan. And I'm very pleased to say I've got Joel, a Morecambe fan, and member of the Trust at Morecambe. So welcome, Joe. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So Joe Adams, 19 years of age. He's been on loan since the 11th of January. How is he at this moment in time?
Really good. We're all dead happy with him, really. I'd say he's probably come in largely because the player we had playing in number 10, JJ McKiernan, he's injured for another month or two, I think, now, still. So he got an injury. We need somebody to play in that role. And Joe Adams is the one who's come in. So obviously, you know, he's one where we don't know much about him. There's very, very little information out there about him. Well, there's a bit more now because he's been playing really, really well. I remember his first appearance against Mansfield. He was great. They didn't know what to do with him for about the first 15 minutes because he just picks up the ball. He's very brave. He's very direct. He just runs at people. And he still finds his feet. You can tell he's very raw. He's very talented, but he's quite raw. So I kind of see why he maybe isn't quite ready to break into the first team in League One yet, but there's a lot there to like, and he's really settled. You can see him just developing, the decision-making getting a bit sharper, you know, all that kind of stuff. And fair play to him, he runs for days, doesn't stop running. It's fantastic.
I've met John. I've interviewed him in the supporters club. He was a very, very shy lad, well-mannered, nice lad. I've seen him play in a friendly. Like you said, he was breathtaking, and that's got a fabulous headed goal. He's not had his chance with the first team this season due to the fact that it's full of kids anyway. And I think, like you said, he's a bit too raw to throw in just yet. But like you, I'm quite excited about his potential. He made his debut, like I said, against Mansfield, and they got on a little bit of a run thereafter. Won 5, drawn 2, and only lost 2. He scored at the weekend as well.
Yeah, really nice to see him get his first goal. He's been there and about quite a lot of times. It's crucial he's maybe either taking an extra touch when he probably should have gotten a shot off, or maybe taking his shot a bit too early. Like I say, he's quite raw, and you can kind of see that in some of his decision-making and how quickly he acts around the box. In terms of ability, though, it's there. It just needs a bit of refining, a bit of time on loan in League Two, basically, like he is doing at the moment. And yeah, good to see him get his first goal, because it's been thoroughly deserved. He's got in lots of good positions. It's never quite set up for him. But yeah, yesterday it came to him, and he's just managed to tuck it away and spark the comeback. So yeah, fantastic.
How's it been with regard to the physicality? Obviously, League Two's, it can be quite physical, it sounds. There's some rough teams in there. Has he stood up to that?
Yeah, he's been fine, to be honest. I mean, he's quite a slight lad, but he's quite tall. He's got a lot of energy, so he's fine with all the running and stuff. But I mean, look, he's not one of the welterweights around League Two, but I don't see him winning loads and loads of headers. But I don't think he's been properly bullied out of games. You know, we've got a couple of other young players on loan. We've got a guy from Nottingham Forest on loan. He's a lovely footballer, but he's struggling a bit with the physicality. But Joe Adams, I think he's been pretty good with it, to be honest. He's stood up pretty well.
Brilliant. I don't think he's been substituted, has he? Looking at your player stats each week, I've never noticed him going off. He seems to be getting the full 90 minutes in.
Yeah, most weeks. I think the first game or two he might have come off just while he was sort of getting himself up to full match for this. But since then, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's been playing full 90s. I think, like I say, he's very fit, got lots of energy. That's what a lot of people said about him when he came. What is the way he's been used as well. So generally he's been playing kind of that kind of number 10 / number 8 kind of role, just depending on how the game's going, what players we want to bring on, how we want to shift the team around. Sometimes ends up playing on the right wing a little bit. Just if we want to freshen things up in the field, we take a winger or put another winger on, then he goes to the right wing. So he's shown a bit of versatility in his game. And yeah, he's high energy, he gets stuck in. And there are a lot of facets to his game that are quite decent to have, even when you're going into the late stages. Defensively, he puts a good shift in. Obviously, in the position he isn't required to do loads and loads of defending, but he puts a shift in, and he doesn't seem to have been a liability in terms of tracking runners and things like that.
Oh, it's just fantastic to hear, and it's really good that not only is he developing as a player, but he's helping Markham in the chase for the playoff spots. And you've got a big test next week against Wrexham, and that'll be a big test for Joe, but also for your club. I mean, it's at your place. Are you looking forward to that game?
Yeah, very much. Obviously, we got a bit of a hammering from Wrexham last time, but I think at a glance, it seems to be that they hammer a lot of teams at their place. But on the road, they're not quite strong. And I think, you know, at home, I back ourselves. It'd be nice if we stopped going behind early on in the game, as we seem to keep doing it. Obviously, it's fantastic that we're great at comebacks, but it'd be nice if we stopped giving ourselves mountains to climb, as fun as coming from 2-0 down to win 3-2 is. Looking forward to it. Like you say, it's going to be a challenge. The quality of playing they've got is incredibly high. So we're going to have to cope with that. But at home, you know, bit of a smaller ground, we can get on top of them a bit more. My back has put up a good game.
And your manager at the moment, Jeb Brannan, former Wigan Athletic player. How's he doing? Is he the man? Is he the new Jim Bentley?
Jim was fantastic for us for many years. But I think by the time it came for him when he left, it was, you know, maybe he wasn't quite what we needed to push the club forward in League Two. But Jed, yeah. Like, I'm liking what Jed's seen, you know, he's taken over from Derek Adams. There were some positive facets of play that we've kind of retained, so we're quite good in transition on the break. In fact, Joe Adams is great at having those kinds of moments because he is so direct with his driving on the ball and taking players on, and he can take players on absolutely no problem as well. So having Joe Adams on the break is great. But Jed's also built maybe a bit more structure in possession as well, so we're a bit better able to break teams down and, you know, work out, you know, pick the lock in ways that aren't just counterattacks, basically. So, yeah, he's doing really, really well so far. Jed, yes, yeah, his first managerial role. I think there probably have been a few hiccups and a few bumps, but he seems to be ironing out problems generally when they come up. So it's just really cool to see him develop, and I'd be very happy seeing him there next season, and hopefully he can kind of continue to build something at the club.
Before we finish, I'd just like to ask about the club sale and how that's going, because it's been well over a year now, hasn't it? You've been in this sort of limbo with the club sale, and you've been protesting and trying to get it moving along. Is there any news on that front?
Not particularly, as far as I'm aware. You know, I think we've been trying to push the sale of the club. Obviously, we've got a demonstration ahead of the Wrexham game next week to try and highlight the availability of the club. I think it got mentioned on Granada as well the other night. I think it's an effort to just say, look, you know, the club is available, and I think obviously he has known that the club's up for sale, but it's frustrating that the owner has not. It seems like there are maybe some clashes over the acceptable price for the club. Obviously, we don't know any figures, but yeah, it's frustrating that the sale's taking this long, but hopefully this demonstration ahead of the Wrexham game this week does go to just highlight it a bit. Because, you know, we've seen club sales go through with other clubs, and it is a bit frustrating. But yeah, hopefully we can help to attract somebody, because, you know, it's a good football club, it's well run, it's got some exciting young players, so there's there for it to kick on a bit.
Joel, brilliant talking to you. Wish you all the best for the rest of the season. Hopefully you can give Joe Adams a Wembley appearance in the playoff final come May. And hopefully we'll see you next season in League One. You never know.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, no, it'd be great to see Joe Adams out at Wembley, and be terrified but lovely to be back in League One next season.
If you do make it, I'll be tapping you up for a ticket, don't you worry. Okay, cheers. Thanks, Joel.
Cheers.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, that focus on one young player out on loan like that. It's strange, isn't it? We saw him a little bit in that pre-season friendly against Tranmere, and he did make an impression, didn't he? On the basis of that, we seem to have got high hopes for him, and I think we're all itching to see a bit more from him. I thought in Joel's description of his playing style and so on, he didn't mention things like about his technique and so on, because I think that's that what struck me. He seemed to have a really, really good touch and a decent short pass, but it's kind of faded into memory now. But he talked a lot about his direct running, and certainly Sean Maloney likes players like that. Yeah, I think we'll all look forward to seeing more of him.
I'm very excited by him. I'm sure listening to Gregory Ock and Jake Campbell from the academy talk about him, I think our fans should get excited as well. I think he really is one for the future. Picked him up from Eastleigh, if people aren't aware of that. Not Eastleigh, just the other side of town, but Eastleigh town in Hampshire. Yeah, he's away from home as well, but he's a very grounded lad, settled in the area. Big things to come from Joe. I think we've all taken Saturday's results and put it into context of the season, and not too disappointed, even though we did lose against the team we've never lost against in the league before. But we managed to get a tray of chips from the Ivory Chipper, so that's all what matters.
Long term, I think we can still be upbeat with all these fantastic young players we've got.
Just before we finish today, I'd just like to let everyone know, on the 22nd of March, that's Friday, international break, so we've probably no game that weekend. No England game either, because they play on the Saturday. There is a race night in support of the Latics Community Trust being held in Whelan's Bar, run by the PW podcast in association with Wigan Athletic Supporters Club. It's free entry, pound a bet. It's going to be a cracking night. Get yourself in there. There's six races, so you can go down there, spend £6, probably win 30 or 40 quid, and leave with a big smile on your face, and supporting your favourite charity as well, the Latics Community Trust. So get yourselves down there, 22nd of March. Until Wednesday, when we'll be back looking at the Leyton Orient game. That's it for this week. So up the ticks and come on.
Up the ticks.
Up the ticks. Come on.
Come on.